Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
Hip-hop and comedy go hand-in-hand in some ways. Just look at rappers like Vince Staples, Tyler, the Creator, and Schoolboy Q, who are all capable of cracking everyone up on a moment's notice. At times, they can even be straight-up goofy.
All my life, I've really liked syrup. I just liked eating waffles all day.
Have you ever had bacon and syrup?
I'm not finished. Oh my God, can you let me do what I need to do?
I'm not really tripping on the money. It ain't about the money, bro. You know what I'm saying? I gotta finish. Hang up.
But while they can invoke laughter, these are the same artists who can spark a whole range of emotions in an audience, as they have proven on projects such as Igor, Oxymoron, and the introspective Dark Times. So what does it mean when a rapper only has humor in their arsenal? Would this one-dimensional nature mean that they've got a short shelf life? Or are their contributions to the hip-hop landscape always going to be judged on a sliding scale? Because these days, it's looking pretty desperate out there for a lot of them. To understand this unique and loosely defined subgenre of hip-hop, we must first look at its godfathers. And when it comes to rappers who have always embraced internet culture and all the jokes and jibes that go with it, they don't come much bigger than Soulja Boy. After all, there are literally endless memes about how Soulja Boy invented everything in the culture, born of an early internet hit and dance that basically laid the blueprint for how rappers engage with the internet. It's fair to say that Soulja has always been proud of his rep as a pioneer.
Always doing a song with a before they get signed. Then once these get famous, I can't even get a song from these no more. But when y'all was in the hood and ain't nobody know who the fuck y'all was, I was doing songs with y'all. Chief Keef, Lil Durk, Migos, Famous Dex. Only I did a song with now was Rich the Kid.
With the simplistic hook-filled tracks that he delivered, Soulja was accused numerous times of killing hip-hop by older heads. But in a lot of ways, he molded it and can't get the respect he deserves for doing so. For one thing, he's been turned into a laughingstock for claiming credit for everything, even if there's legitimacy at times.
Oh, look how he Meek Mill ain't beef with Chris Brown and was finna box with Floyd Mayweather.
He beat with Drake, the biggest rapper in the world.
Drake? The nigga that got bodied by Pusha T? The nigga that's hiding his kid from the world, but his world wouldn't hide from the kid? Arby Graham in a wheelchair? Drake?
Yes!
Y'all niggas better stop playing with me. Y'all talking about the light-skinned nigga from DeGeneres?
From Toronto!
Yo, stop playing with me.
From where?
The grassy.
Stop playing me like I ain't teach Drake everything he knows.
Hold on, you taught Drake everything he knows.
Y'all didn't hear Drake on his first song? Tell me what's really going on. Drizzy Drake back in this thing already. What's that? That's Soulja!
Hey, I would have never thought, listen.
What's really going on? Soulja Boy up in this thing already.
And at this point, it's his erratic behavior that keeps him relevant, rather than any modern musical contribution itself.
The funny part about this is if it wasn't for platforms like Vlad TV, No Jumper, Academics, and Say Cheese TV, Soulja Boy wouldn't be doing Rolling Loud. He'd be doing state fairs, just like all the other mid-2000 rappers out there. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, you're probably right. And to be honest, like, can you imagine us posting about just what Soulja Boy having a decent Rolling Loud show? I mean, because we have to post about the other 117 people that are on the Rolling Loud flyer too, right? I bet there's like 50 people who have better shows than you, right? Like, what are we even fucking talking about? Like, I can't believe that he has the nerve to try to blame us after having kept him relevant for all these fucking years, because it's clearly not the music that's keeping him relevant.
No.
Let's be real. There is like a class of celebrity in hip hop who basically manages to stay relevant through doing your platform and maybe mine, maybe I, you know, some sort of combination.
And their antics.
Right.
And the antics that we consistently report on for 15 years now.
Right. Soulja Boy has benefited from it massively.
And still bitches about
it. And has no perspective on the fact that he's benefited from it, and that not only has benefited from it, but it's the only thing he's benefiting from at this point, because let's be real, your music ain't hot like that.
Due to the sentiment that his music is lightweight and disposable, people have gotten very comfortable with disrespecting him, oftentimes in the same breath that they're trying to give him his flowers.
With Soulja Boy is top five most influential, and I'm not gonna argue with you niggas about this at all. But this nigga, Soulja Boy, top five, as far as to what we are today.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's
it's why, like, you take him off your album.
You ain't hear that verse?
No. He was a parent. Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Oh. He was apparently mad at you. The verse wasn't good?
Nah, but I tell you what though.
Due to his peak of musical relevance being around 15 years ago, Soulja Boy is often reduced down to a meme in a way that he isn't willing to embrace. So while he did play a role in inventing the genre as it's known today, there are other figures who would more regularly take on the title of meme rap pioneer. One such man is Lil B. Formerly a member of The Pack, this Bay Area rapper switched everything up when he started dropping his weird, minimalistic, humor-filled solo material. But much like what happened to Soulja Boy, not everyone saw the funny side.
What was the wackest verse on Sorry for the Wait mixtape? The wackest verse?
The Booth God.
The Booth God?
Lil B the Booth God. That was a disgrace.
And I'm from the Bay.
He from the Bay.
Can't fuck with him. Horrible.
So Lil B the Bass God, it's just your penmanship. If you just work on rapping in the pocket and, you know, and listen to some classics and other niggas, so it's like, you know, I call him the wackest rapper in the game ever. But I'm also trying to help. Don't take this the wrong way. And don't get tough or don't try to respond or come at, no, matter of fact, come at me. Because I want to hear Lil B's response to this shit. It would be hilarious. You know what I'm saying? But watch what you say, because I'm known for flipping little rappers on their fucking head.
Unlike his counterpart from Georgia, Lil B made it clear that what he creates was inspired directly by his consumption of the online world. Every second I'm on the internet, he remarked. Consistently surrounded by music, music intake, video input, watching the internet, watching friends, on blogs. Consistently. I'm an avid reader of blogs. And of course, he embraced the role that he played in taking internet culture to the front line of rap.
Through the bass freestyles, that's how the bass God was originated and found. And that's where Thank You Bass God came from. You know, I definitely made history with like the memes and stuff, like with the Thank You Bass God. Yeah, I definitely don't think I get the credit for the meme, like being like the guy that put memeing on, like how it is, like I was the only rapper.
Instead of just sharing memes or chasing viral moments, Lil B's impact came from something deeper. Unlike Soulja Boy, whose funny moments often happened by accident, Lil B fully leaned into the comedy and shock factor on purpose. It was all part of his plan from the start, with mixtapes named I'm Gay, and a flow which was unlike anything you'd expect in an era where technical proficiency was more of a priority. People don't know what to make of it, but it was ultimately so bizarre that it demanded return visits. Even Danny Brown couldn't ignore it. The first time he saw Lil B's Like a Martian music video, he was lit scrolling through Worldstar, and the whole thing just hit him in the wrong way. Not necessarily because it was bad, but because it was so weird, so offbeat that it actually stuck with him. Like, man, is this guy on drugs? Danny Brown said. I just knew it was something there though. The next day I was chilling with my homie, we were smoking, and I was like, yo, I saw this crazy shit yesterday, while laughing. I showed him and he was like, what the fuck? And I think we watched it like 5 times straight. And ever since, I've just been fucking with his shit hard. I knew it was something there. That's all I knew. Despite the fact that he never had a major deal or even had a single hit the Hot 100, Lil B has reached legend status.
We can't really talk about people debasing or manipulating the art form of rap without talking about Lil B. Lil B broke rap, completely shattered it to where people could go in and rearrange the parts. And then you have someone like Young Thug who comes in post Lil B. We can't have Thug without Lil B. Thug comes in and his voice is the instrument. I would say maybe the next step after him is like a Cardi.
Even some of the biggest and most influential artists of the modern era gave him props. Thank You Bass God, tweeted Kendrick Lamar in 2016, teaching all of us how to swag in videos. You and Wayne most influential. Thank You Bass God. Lil Uzi Vert even gave Lil B his flowers, tweeting, at Lil Bass God, I got a song that's gonna be huge, and if it wasn't for Lil B, it wouldn't exist. Thank You Bass God. That's how deep Lil B's influence runs. But even with that kind of love from the newer generation, it didn't really lead to long-term success. Just look at Soulja Boy. The hype eventually cooled off, and these days, not many people are checking for his new drops. Sure, you might love the concept of Lil B and use based in your regular internet vocabulary, but are you really checking out recent mixtapes like Winged Wheelchair Squad? His numbers have plummeted, with new tracks barely registering with audiences. But while it's clear he's not the vital pioneer he once was, Lil B's legacy is already intact in a way that both he and his supporters, such as JPEG Mafia, seem perfectly content with.
Really? You think so? Him and who? Lil B? Yeah, but don't you feel like the shadow of Lil B has been kind of limited? Which I feel like is a shame, but he makes no effort to be in the public eye. He doesn't do any of the stuff that you would expect somebody in his position to do, which is very, that's him. That's what makes him him. He's never made the choices you would have expected from him. But sometimes I feel like the younger audience has kind of lost sight of how important he was.
Yeah, he kind of has this aura of, I already did it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to do it. Like, my influence is there. I don't have to do much. Right. So, and I'm just, I think people just respect it.
In this way, Lil B is a singular entity in the meme rap space. Because while he hasn't really switched up as of late or had any moment of major prominence, he's still got the love of the hip-hop community. While for most of the other artists in this space, there's always a sense that there's a limit to what a meme rapper can achieve, or how long they can sustain an audience's attention with jokes over substance. This is the problem which most of the current crop of meme rappers are facing at the moment. Because, for the most part, they find themselves trying to break out of that category and attempt to keep their careers afloat once the initial buzz wears off. That's why someone like Young Gravy, who is best known for tracks like Betty Get Money, Whip a Tesla, and breakout hit One Thought, Two Thought, Red Thought, Blue Thought, feels like it's a burden.
Do you have a problem with that? Or
no, I don't.
Really? Like, you, in your heart of hearts, you don't have a problem people dismissing what you're trying to do, your skills and shit like that, when they look at, like, your bars and stuff, and they say, okay, he's like a meme rapper, though. Because he said some funny shit in one track, or blah, 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 blah.
Well, because I don't want them to be my fans. I would prefer that my fans are the ones that actually get it, you know? I know what you're saying, and I don't consider myself a meme rapper. I don't consider Baby No Money a meme rapper. Yes. But we say some crazy shit because we have a shitload of fun in the studio.
But Gravy's story is very familiar to that of others in his field. While his success peaked at 2020's Gasanova, he's managed to stick around, even if it means he's gone from getting 75 million views for the Mr. Clean video to less than 100,000 within a month for his latest single. But there's just always a sense that beyond his hardcore audience, there's just no real appeal for the masses anymore. And the same unfortunately goes for his friend and regular collaborator, Baby No Money. After emerging with an unanticipated hit with Y2K on La La La, which eventually went 5x platinum, the eyes of the world were suddenly on him.
It's gonna be a big song. Nobody could have told that. It's like one of the biggest songs on Spotify of all time. So I remember making Edamame, and then we put it out on a Wednesday, and it did like 400,000 streams on a Wednesday. And I called Brian, I was like, is this usually how your music performs? And he's like, hell no.
Wow.
We're viral, boys. I am H-I-M, the Gen Z M&M. That is the worst lyric I've ever heard in my entire life. And I was like,
But in his case, there was at least some semblance of understanding that eventually, he'd have to face up to the fact that not taking the music too seriously or having a traditional hip-hop image may mean that there'd eventually be diminishing returns. People are gonna stop caring, and I know that. I'm a personality, but you don't want to live vicariously through me, he said. I'm an everyday, normal-ass person that does the exact same shit you do. I just happen to gain a lot of popularity through making song. I don't care about the falling off principle. After having La La La, I'm the La 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 guy. I have 50-60 songs waiting to come out. They're great. I can't wait for people to hear them. Will my music be relevant for X amount of years? I have no idea. I'm just doing my own thing, and that's how I think I got so far. Since then, he has pushed on, scoring another big hit with Edamame alongside Rich Brian. But while he tried to act like he was unafraid of flopping, the reality was that he struggled with trying to follow up and second-guessed himself. So for every hit, there's a whole host of subpar music to go with it.
Well, I have a song called Antidepressants coming out.
Oh!
Yeah.
When's the album coming out?
We don't really know yet, but October.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How many songs are on it right now?
I mean, I have like 60 that I like.
60?
But I don't know. I think there's like 7 right now that are insanely good. I'm putting together like definitely like without question my best project.
Someone assumed this and wants to hear your take, which is comedy rappers are more talented than serious rappers.
I mean, that's kind of a hot take. I feel like all rappers are kind of, even like the most successful rappers are kind of comedy. Like Drake, he knows he's a meme,
mm-hmm.
but he makes good music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and he's the most successful artist probably in our generation, probably for the next like 2 generations.
Now evolving as an artist to the point that recent projects have featured tracks on everything from his issues with antidepressants to political matters, Baby No Money's real fans remain locked in. But the ones who are just there for the jokes aren't willing to see him in a different lens. Baby No Money doesn't fit the typical expectation of a rapper or singer. When someone says rapper, they expect something that's serious, not goofy. This is the problem for so many of these artists. Because no matter what they do afterward, first impressions mean that they struggle to overcome them. So while they might garner reactions online, both positive and negative, it can't be sustained if it's based on shtick. Just look at the tiny window where 645AR had the world's attention, only to be forgotten about when the joke wears off.
You know what this reminds me of? Being a kid, first time your mom ever gave you an ice cream cone, and you held that ice cream cone, and you licked it, and you looked up at the sky, and everything was okay. It's like beyond pure. If you asked me 10 years ago, how do you think raps will sound in 2020? I would say something like this, and the fact that it's actually here is very impressive.
From Lil Pump to Young Nugget, there's always a point where the wheels fall off, and sometimes the aftermath is pretty dark. After launching a career with tracks like Fuck Steph Curry, Lil Boom claimed that he was the true originator of meme rap.
When you like started this meme rap shit, right?
True.
And then started seeing and all the dick riders start, I'm talking about start gentrifying your shit, man. What was going through Boom's mind? Cause I'll be real. If like I was you, bro, I'm out here, bro, I'm out here catching niggas lacking, I'm smoking, bro, I was super violent.
Nigga, having meme rap beef is crazy as fuck.
Of course, nah, come on now, bro.
Beefing over a nigga over meme rap is crazy, bro.
It was your genre, though.
It was, I did make up the term, I'll never forget, I made up the term meme rap. I was with my man's Nick, and I was like, bro, we should, because mm-hmm. the way meme rap is, people see it as like funny rap, but like the way meme rap is now, bro, it exists through your favorite rappers, like right now.
Yeah.
Because it was like, meme rap was just like, we're going to get a song, and we're going to make it viral through memes. Like, so we're going to, like, let's say a nigga got hit by like a train or some shit.
Yeah.
And he flips through the air on some funny shit. We'll put our song behind it. So niggas watch the video and be mm-hmm. like, wait, what song is that? What song is that? That's what weird. Song is that? So that was really what meme rap was. It wasn't just really funny mm-hmm. shit. Our shit happened to just be funny.
But from the outset, he couldn't really capitalize in a financial sense, taking a tiny advance, which he opted to go for out of desperation.
I heard, bro, they fucked you over.
They did. They saw me for the same price that I got my first TuneCore tick from, for $7,500.
Yo, you were starving.
Yeah, bro, I was, bro. It hit me because like we moved to like my brother's crib, but mm-hmm. it was like me, my mom. Bro, I got five brothers and five sisters, bro. So it was
five?
Me. Yeah, it was me, my mom, my dad, my four sisters. Because one of my older sisters, she got her own shit. My four little sisters mm-hmm. and my four brothers, or my three brothers, because my other brother he had already left. But so it was my three brothers and my four sisters. We all shared a room about the same size as this.
Yeah.
We all shared a room, like the master bedroom of my brother's crib.
Yeah.
And it was just bad, bro. It was just bad. Like my mom, like she got like a big ass like infection on her face from like sleeping on the bed and shit. And I was like, fuck.
I was like, bro,
I would take any deal. Yeah, like niggas shit on me for that, and I tell him, like, bro.
Things eventually improved where he signed to 10K projects for $300,000, but he was subsequently let go from there too when the early views just didn't return. But now, after years of being best known as a friend of academics, his reputation has since been shredded to pieces when he was caught actively creeping on kids in a supermarket.
Look how close he is to her. He probably did. Look over there.
So,
she's like seven. He lingers, follows, then grabs.
You are going to be placed under arrest. Okay, so I'm not going to put the handcuffs in the back, so I'll just put them in the front. So just put your hands together like you're praying. Perfect. Hey. Sure.
If he's willing to do something like this in such an openly public space, it just makes you wonder what he's gotten away with behind closed doors. Afterwards, both fans and cultural commentators delved into what happened, and everyone unanimously agreed that he was out of here.
I don't give a fuck.
That was the ass.
Fuck Lil Boom. Lil Boom was touching motherfucking kids,
in
bro.
In a fucking grocery store.
Yeah. We don't play that. There's a no tolerance. Zero tolerance here at No Jumper, homie. We don't stand behind that, touching on babies. Walking in stores, getting caught on camera. People had to come to your house about it. You sat there and you admitted out, plead out guilt in court, even on a lesser charge, but you still, homie, can't be around kids.
For unwanted touching.
You couldn't be around nobody under the age of 18. Why is that?
Unwanted touching.
Fuck that shit, Lil Boom. Fuck you. Fuck y'all whole crew and what you niggas gonna do.
What that nigga just said.
As you can see, meme rap as it was once known doesn't really exist in the traditional form. For many of its former stars, they're now trying their best to escape the tag and be taken seriously. While for others, their careers are no longer intact. But if there's one man who seems intent on carrying the flag forward into a new era, it's Uno Miles. An artist who seems to actively pride himself on being trash, Uno certainly has an interesting philosophy where he tries to keep things as low rent as possible.
What kind of equipment is going into this stuff?
$15 mic and $100 computer. That was what I started with.
No way. And stop.
Yeah.
That's no.
I just upgraded probably like 3 months ago.
Okay. Well, what?
And
what
then I still went cheap. It's like $60 now. You know, I upgraded 60, but I used to go to the real studio, but the engineer said he was tired of me playing in the studio, so he just, you know, told me not to come back.
And for the most part, people are absolutely on board with it, including Kanye West, who recently gave him a feature on Vulture 2's Bomb. I discovered Bro 2021. I thought his music was so funny. It was obvious he wasn't being serious. I liked it, and I've been watching his rise. Bro deserves it. He literally got a Kanye song off being himself and nobody else. What's crazy is that the idea that he is trying to suck isn't even fan speculation. Refreshingly, he's been upfront about how he's deconstructing the hip-hop notion of trying to be the best by actively trying to make terrible music.
It sounds like it's like 80-20, 80% playing around and 20% real, you know? I be trying to show people with my music that, like, we all can do it, you know? It's like, because before, you got the big music, you know, that's on radios and stuff, and people act like you can't get there just by being yourself, and I'm like, you really can. So I just kind of do that with my music. But I still gotta let them know it's trash, you know? Like, I can't just let that go unnoticed. I still gotta let you know, like, this is garbage, man. Like, golly, you know?
Could you see yourself, maybe this is the opposite of what you would ask most artists, but could you see yourself making worse music in the future?
Of course, man. Like, I'm always trying to get worse, you know, but like, it's only because it's the holidays where I'm getting good, but I'm going back, like.
Oh, okay. So wait, hold on. You've been getting better, but only because of the holiday season?
Yeah. So like, I got like these Christmas tapes I'll be dropping and stuff.
Right.
And in recent times, the concept has garnered enough momentum that his output was featured on the Jimmy Fallon Show. Horrifying the roots in the process.
You're going to freak out. This is the jam. Okay, this is a rapper called, Miles? Oh, you know Miles. Let's take a listen to a song that he wrote. It's called Payday. This is a goodie.
I get paid every day of the week. Why does that hate no me? All I need is six hot wheels.
Along the way, he's left Doja Cat downright scared as well.
Can't forget about Malcolm X and Rosa Parks. I feel like we read it out the park, but it don't matter because I'm Martin Luther King.
All the while, continuing to take his growing fame anything but seriously.
I'm in a booth right now, I'm wearing a suit and tie.
Fuck! Oh my!
What the fuck, bro?
Now boasting almost 1 million monthly Spotify listeners, Uno might now be capable of making a real bag of music that, if you take it seriously, doesn't deserve to earn a dime. The whole thing is ridiculous, but it seems like no one knows that more than Uno himself. In his opinion, his success points out the absurdity of the fact that once things get popular, they just become part of the landscape, no matter how little value they have.
Nowadays, I just notice when people see numbers, that's kind of when they go along with it. But like beforehand, oh yeah, no, I got kicked out everywhere. I couldn't even record in the studio. My mom, I couldn't even record in the house because I used to record in like the room, in my bedroom. I say I'm a successful bedroom rapper sometimes. It's like a joke. But I was recording in there, and I remember she just tired of me recording music in the room, so I had to find somewhere else to go. So you
were kicked out of your own house for recording?
Yeah, sadly, yes.
Oh, okay. So you know, where are you able to safely record now, where it's just kind of okay? Like, what, you know, without obviously, you know, telling us too much.
Yeah, of course. The basement.
Okay, the basement.
For now, Uno represents where we're at in the evolution of meme rap, where other artists associated with the genre have tried to knuckle down and prove that they can make things that are really worthwhile. Uno is going out of his way to see how much his audience will tolerate, but along the way, some fans have felt like he started to organically become a good rapper. This can be seen very clear on his new track Bronny James, where people are actually taken aback by how much it's switched up from the days of Martin Luther King. This is actually hard. I'm laughing, but also seriously respecting the bars. But ultimately, it's clear that if they're looking for something more than hilarity, they're going to go elsewhere. So let's just hope that he learns the lessons from the people who've come before him, if he wants to make the bank while the public's eyes are still on him. Because unfortunately, if history has taught us anything, that window is closing all the time for the meme rappers.